I'm so delighted and blessed to see you this morning. Resurrection morn. What a great time to celebrate. Is it not a great time to celebrate? What a great time to rejoice and celebrate. Friends, this is it. This is the day that Christians all over the world, you and I, celebrate the empty tomb. When we think of the Christian calendar, this is it. This is the highlight. The tomb is empty. Christ has risen. This is the day set aside to rejoice. Some of y'all are looking a little glum this morning. This is the time to rejoice in Jesus. I get excited about Jesus because He's real and He wants to be Lord of all. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be Lord of mine. He wants to be Lord of the church, of our nation, our great nation. We sang it, Jesus, Messiah. He wants to be Lord of all. I get excited about Jesus when I see what He's done for us in Scripture. What He's done for us in our church and you and your families. I get excited on days like this when we can rejoice and celebrate the tomb is empty. So today, we have great cause for celebration. Glory to God. We rejoice together and celebrate Jesus. But I want to take you back. I asked the earlier service this morning to ponder for a moment. I want to take you back a couple thousand years. Maybe you were His follower. Maybe you were one of the gals, Mary's. Followed Him. Listened to Him teach. Watched Him walk on water. Seen Him feed the 5,000. Maybe you even saw Him raise Lazarus from the dead. Maybe you were in the crowd that day. I want you to think, how would you have felt? You're one of those men and women that have claimed like Peter, Thou art the Christ. Maybe you're one of them. How would you have felt on this morning early? How would you have felt on Saturday? I was pondering this just yesterday. How did they feel when they realized He's dead? He's gone. I saw Him on the cross. I saw the spear. I saw Him flog Him. I saw Him put Him in the tomb. How would you feel? It's Saturday. It's Sunday morning early. He's gone. He's dead. He's buried in a tomb. I've seen it with my own eyes. What would you have done differently if you were one of the 12 or 11 at that point, or one of the ladies? What would you have done when you saw Him before this kangaroo court of Pilate and the Pharisees, accusing Him for things He didn't do, slapping Him about, spitting on Him, smacking down a crown of thorns, and then taking Him to that famous place where they flog people almost to death, and some of them died in flogging? What would you have done differently than the disciples did when you saw Him nailed to the cross and ridiculed? If you're the Son of God, come down from there. You remember the stories from the Gospels? What would you have done? Just like the disciples that day, we would have been confused. We would have been thinking, what is going on here? I thought He was the Messiah. I thought He was the Savior. We would have been confused. We would have been amazed. He's letting them do this. You remember Isaiah's words we saw on Friday night. Some of you were here. Like a lamb before the slaughter. Like a sheep before it shears is doesn't open His mouth. He never said a word. What would you have done? we'd have been amazed like they would have been amazed. Why is he letting them do this? I thought he'd come to redeem and save and establish a kingdom. Scared. Can you imagine on Saturday? This is what I thought about yesterday. Could you imagine their hearts on Saturday? What next? I was going to follow him. Now what? I bet you even some of us would have been felt a little bit betrayed. The scripture said there was a Messiah coming. He said he was the one. Now they've killed him. Not only have they killed him, I've seen him go to the grave. I suspect we would have felt a little bit betrayed and thinking, I thought this was the Messiah. I thought he was going to redeem us. The scripture said he was. Now he's dead. We probably would have said like they said, now he's dead. Now he's in the tomb. What of his kingdom now? What of his established kingdom now? What am I going to do now? How would you have felt? I suspect we would have felt like the two on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. You remember those two? They were in Jerusalem for the events. They weren't part of the 12 necessarily, but they were part of the group. Remember the two in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus? Shuffling back on home to Emmaus that first day of the week. Wondering and talking amongst themselves. Now what? The two on the road that morning became three because of Jesus. But I suspect you would have felt like they felt, and I would have too, because I felt this way yesterday. Now what? And as they talked amongst themselves, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, joined them there. And he said, what are you talking about? Talking about Jesus. Verse 19 and 20 and 21 of Luke 24 says, when he asked them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers, they delivered him to be crucified. They condemned him to death and crucified him. Now listen to verse 21, because this is how they felt. But we, and you and I would have been there too. But we were hoping. We were hoping that it was he that would redeem Israel. But we had it in our mind. We were completely convinced until they put him in the tomb. We were completely convinced he was the Son of God, the Messiah. We were hoping amongst all hope that it was he that would redeem Israel. We would have felt the same way. Because I saw him with my own eyes. I saw him kill him. I saw him put him in the tomb. We would have felt the same way. I guess we would have been a Peter, and I guess we would have said, well, I guess it's back to the fishing net, boys. He's gone. Or we would have been a tax collector like Matthew and said, well, I guess grab out the old tax collection booth, boys, because he's gone. As I pondered that yesterday, friends, I wondered how often do we still feel like that? Think it through. How often do we still feel abandoned? God, where are you? David felt that way. You can read about it in the Psalms. How often, even today, have we felt betrayed? I thought you were going to be with me. How often have we been confused? Lord, help me to understand. I don't see your hand here in my life. How often have we been incredulous like they were that day? I can't believe this is happening. Been there, haven't we? And yet, friends, we know as we read Scripture, the tomb is empty. Hallelujah. The tomb is empty. There's joy in our hearts, or at least there can be, because the tomb is empty. It's not empty either, by the way, because someone stole the body and ran off with it. Did you know that? It's not empty because the soldiers that were there, according to Matthew, took the advice of the Pharisees and took the money too, by the way. Yeah, I'll take that. And passed on the story. Well, I guess they come and stole him. It's not empty because of that. It's empty because he said, I lay down my life and I take it up again. He's alive. You know, there's been a lot of world figures in the last 2,000 years, pre and post Jesus, that said, I'm the Messiah, go ahead and follow me. Or I'm the Savior, or I'm this, or I'm that, or the other thing, go ahead and put your faith in me. They're all dead and still in the tomb. Not Jesus. Not Jesus. He's alive. The tomb is empty. Now, I suppose if you watch nature channels and National Geographic and that kind of stuff a lot, you'll probably see otherwise. They'll probably tell you, nope, we found his remains in a box. Here it is. But the tomb is empty, friends. And we have great reason to rejoice. What does that mean to you and I? It means that God has fulfilled his plan of redeeming us. Did you know we needed a redeemer? This would mean yes. Did you know we needed a redemption? Holy Father, Almighty God, sinful people, we needed a redeemer to bridge the gap. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He went to that cross and died, shed his blood, so that we might live. You remember the story in John 11? When Lazarus died, you remember what he said to Mary and Martha when they cried out in anguish. Lazarus was dead. He was in the tomb too. And they both said the same thing. If you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. You remember the verse in John 11:25 when they said, yes, Lord, I know. When he said he will rise again. I know he'll rise again in the last day. And you remember his reply. You remember? He said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is the reason we are redeemed. Jesus is the reason we can have forgiveness of sin. Jesus is the reason we can come to Almighty God and cry out in anguish, in sorrow, or in rejoicing. And he hears us because of what Jesus has done for us. Today's a great day. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate the resurrected Jesus. We celebrate the empty tomb. Paul said it. We don't have time to look at it, but Paul said it. If there is no resurrection, if Christ be not raised, we are of all men most miserable because we put our faith in somebody that never raised. He said, we're just a miserable lot. But he's resurrected. He's alive, and we are not of all men and women most miserable. We can rejoice in Jesus because he is raised from the dead, victorious over sin, victorious over death and the grave. I want to turn to Matthew 28, if you would, please, real quickly. You know these verses. You know that all four Gospels talk about the empty tomb. I just want to be reminded this morning for a moment of the scene there that day. Matthew 28. And if you want to jot down and read later, you can write down Mark 16, 1-7. You can mark down Luke 24. You can write down John 20. They all say the same thing. I'm not going to read them all. You can check them out. I'm going to read for you Matthew, just a few verses. Such a great story. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I love that sight. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Now, you won't read a great deal from Mark, Luke, or John about the guards. But let me just tell you, friends, it wasn't just Mary and the Marys that saw the empty tomb. The guards were there and saw the angel and were afraid. I mean, really afraid. They became as dead men. They saw the angel. They felt the earthquake. They saw the this enormous rock get rolled from in front of the tomb. And they became as dead men. And if you read the rest of the story, which we don't have time for this morning, you will see that they went back to the religious leaders and said, "Now what? Angel came, earthquake, roll back the stone, and he's gone. Now what do you want us to do?" Can you imagine? You know what happened. They said, "Well, here's some money. We'll cover your back with the Roman rulers. Take this money and tell them the disciples stole him." That's Matthew's account. You can read about that. And my point is here, friends, the guards saw it. Matthew records it. The guards saw it. Here's what the Bible says. "But the angel answered and said to the women," he wasn't talking to the guards right now, he was talking to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Do you know that in the Roman times, crucified meant death?" No getting around it. Did you know that? You don't get crucified for 3-4 hours and come down alive. You still with me? Crucified was an ugly way of death. The Romans had mastered it. It was a horrible way to die. When they come down, they were dead. "The angel said to those women that morning, 'I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's not here.' And in a moment, their minds were racing. Then where is he?" And he answers their question. "He's not here. He is risen." That's good news, friends. He's not here. He's risen. "As he said, 'Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" And Mark's account says the same thing. They saw this angel in the long white robe. He said, "He is not here. He is alive. He is risen." And Luke 24, we touched on part of it, but you can look at the rest of it in Luke in 24 and John 20. It all says the same thing. And you say, "Jim, yeah, so what? Big deal." Did you know some people don't believe in the resurrection, even in the church house today? You know that? Some people in the church house don't believe that he was resurrected. Some people don't believe that he was completely dead and he just kind of sprung back. Lots of rationale, lots of argument, even in the church house. And so the big deal is, friends, this, the Son of God, was dead and is alive again. For humanity. Why? So that we might live. For God, you know the verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his best. He gave us his Son. That whosoever believes in him and realizes all of this is true and embraces him as," we sung about it, "Lord of all, would have life." That's the big deal. It's a big deal. Eternity depends upon my decision about Jesus. My faith and my belief in Jesus. Friends, it was His death and the blood of Jesus to atone for our sin once and for all. They've been bringing lambs all along. Okay, let's appease God again for a year. Let's bring us a lamb. Let's cut His throat. Let's sprinkle the blood on the, dash it against the altar. They were trying to appease the wrath of God because of sin. And now it is Jesus that took the place. The Lamb of God shed His blood for us. Friends, it's good news. It is really, really good news. We have been redeemed. Thanks be to what Jesus did for us. Let me add this. We can never be set free from the bondage of sin if the grave is still occupied. You ever thought about it? If the grave is still occupied, we're still in our sin. The grave is empty. The tomb is empty. And we have been set free. Praise be to God. I told you I'd have you done on time, so I'm going to have to button it up. Praise team, you go ahead and come on up. We'll get ready to sing this last song. Friends, maybe you don't get quite as excited as I do about the empty tomb, but it's good. That's good stuff. Maybe you're not even sure this whole thing is real. Maybe you're here today and just kind of skeptical. I can appreciate that. I've been there. Maybe you're here today and you're wondering, Jim, how am I going to apply this to my life? So I'll go along with the tomb is empty. How do I apply that to my life? Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you believed with a belief that embraces Christ as Lord? He died and rose again for you. For me. For everybody in between. You may have been in church all your life. God knows your heart. You may have had an intellectual assent. You may have an intellectual, a mind agreement. Yeah, this could be true. I believe there's probably a God out there. Believe He sent His Son. This whole story, it could be true. But have you applied it to you? That's why He died, friends, and rose again. So we would apply it to us as individuals. A sinner needing a Savior. While we sing in this last song, if you're not sure you have given your life to Jesus, you can say, yes, He's Lord of all. He's Lord of everything in my life. I want to encourage you to invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord today, to be your Savior today. Eternity depends upon it. You say, Jim, I thought I could get to heaven by good works. The Bible don't say that. I thought I could get to heaven this way or that way, the other thing. It's your faith in the resurrected Jesus. So let's stand and sing this song. Pastor Les, will you come and join me up here? Friends, if you're here today and you're not sure, I want you to come forward to be with Pastor Les and to pray with him to invite Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. Eternity depends upon your decision for Jesus. Eternity is a long time, and it depends upon your decision about Jesus. Is He real to you? Is He Savior to you? Is He Lord of all to you? If you're not sure, I want you to come forward. Pray with Pastor Les. Make sure that you know. If you want to pray afterwards, after we've dismissed, praise team will play a little bit more. I'll ask Pastor Les and Pastor-to-be John Neamey to come forward. They'll pray with you. If you're not sure, friends, today is a day for you. Let's sing this song.